Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to The Sower on this first show of the new year. Hard to believe we weren't able to do it on the 4th, so here we are doing it with the 11th. Anyhow, it has been a wild and crazy end of the year, and 2016 is coming in like a lion. Don't know if that's good or bad yet. But if the king is the lion and our Lord is king, then I guess it's all good, right? Ladies and gentlemen, I am your Bible study preparer, discernment, meditation for this episode of The Sower, the patriarch of the Celtic Cross Foundation of Ministry, Andrew Patrick. Today we will be reading out of the book of 1 John. 1 John, chapter 3. So if you have your Bibles, you might want to grab hold of them. And we use the readings out of the New King James Version Bible. But whatever Bible you have is fine. Just follow along the best that you can. And I'm sure the discernment will make sense to you for your meditation. This new year, we have a lot of things going on with the ministry. We've dubbed this new year as the Year of the Celts, and that's us. We are professing and claiming a breakout and wonderful international push of growth and hopefully prosperity to some degree to cover the expenses of some of the programs that are so greatly needed around the world, dealing with the orphans, dealing with some of our hospital programs, our medical programs, dealing with getting Bibles into the hands of people around the world. Just many, many different aspects, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. We could use your financial support. And we are looking for individual as well as corporate sponsors. If you'd like, you can go to our ministry's website at www.CelticCrossMinistry.com. That's www.CelticCrossMinistry.com. All one word, all lowercase. So with that, let's get into our prayers. I'd like us to leave in our hearts through our opening prayer, a special prayer for Cardinal Paul Roberts, a dear brother and friend of the ministry in Britain, who has suffered a severe stroke and is on, we hope, the path of recovery. But his speech is greatly affected from what I've been told through channels, and we wish him and his family the absolute best in this new year. We also ask you to lift up Suffragan Bishop Ian Gaylard, as well as our Canon Jeffrey Chad Leach, who are also going through many physical ailments. We lift up our brother from our rosary program on Thursday evenings, Brother Bob Meek, who is in the hospital at this point and is looking to be transferred to another facility where he can get the convalescent care that he needs. And we wish him the absolute best, and we know that he is on the heel of good health once again. We lift up in prayer all of our clergy here in the United States and around the world, and we lift up your personal and private intentions. So if you will, lower your heads in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, in the words that our Savior gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. For those that may be tuning in for the first time, this is our Protestant radio Bible study program that we do on Monday evenings. We also do one for our Catholic brothers and sisters on Friday evenings, and that's called the Mustard Seed. So one is here in Studio A of Blog Talk Radio for the Celtic Cross Radio Network, and the other one is in Studio B, our Catholic station. So we have programs going all week long. All of them start at 6 o'clock in the evening, and we hope that you'll continue to tune in. So this reading today is kind of geared more towards our evangelical brothers and sisters in Christ, but it is pertinent to all brothers and sisters in Christ, no matter what denomination of Christianity you are from. More important, if you're not a Christian or do not or have not accepted Christ into your life. These are words from John, St. John, the beloved, the one that Christ looked down from the cross and said to him, "Behold your mother," as he was standing and comforting the Blessed Mother, Christ's own flesh and blood here on earth. So you know that he is going to be very succinct in what he has to say, and it's fairly short as far as a reading is concerned, 24 verses. So let us begin. 1 John chapter 3. "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And anyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure." Verse 4, "Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him." Verse 7, "Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. His seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he has been born of God. Verse 10. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder? Why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Verse 13. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death. We love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Verse 16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Verse 19. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Verse 23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Now, he who keeps his commandment abides in him, and he in him. And by this, we know he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. Wow, what a powerful chapter to start off our new year. I mean, the new year is full of revolutions and resolutions for ourselves to have a better year. We talk about these things for our bodies, for our families, and for our personality, but I don't think even in my 50-some years, well, I'll be 55 this year, I don't even think I've ever, even my own self, ladies and gentlemen, I'm being honest here, have made a New Year's resolution to have a greater spiritual walk with God my Father. Though I've dedicated decades of service to humanity and to him, guess you could say there is always something missing. And when I read a chapter like this, it kind of brings the sincerity of what we are called Christian to do with our lives. So let's look at these verses a little bit. We're going to we're going to start right off with verse 2, 3, 4, and 5. It says, "Beloved, now we are children of God." Anyone that claim to be a Christian, well, there you have it. We are all children of God. "And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be." Ladies and gentlemen, we don't know what the next life is going to hold for us. We can presume through the scripture and through the words of the prophets and the saints and of Christ what the next world will contain for those that abide in the righteousness of God for eternity. One is the mansion. When you look in the Old Testament, you see the story of the kingdom paved in gold and jewels in the walls that pass around everything. So what am I looking at? My phone just did something that caught my attention. I apologize. When we're looking at this, he says, "But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him." That's that spirit, that essence of Christ. We will be like him. Remember, we become part of him. He is a part of us now through the Spirit. But when we pass on from this life, we become like him in that same aspect. In verse 3, he says, "And everyone who has this hope," hope is the key word right there, hope meaning faith in him, "purifies himself, just as he is pure." So even if you sin and you repent of your sin, you are in that purification process, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. So there is always hope. But without faith backing up that hope, then it's just empty words. And the cross of Christ means nothing. So don't take this in jest. Don't laugh it off. "Well, I got plenty of time. I can get all right with God." Ladies and gentlemen, you don't know how much time you have left here on earth. Two funerals this week. Ladies and gentlemen, that's too many in my heart. To lose loved ones and have to comfort those that lost their loved one and try to find reassurance. That comes from God. That comes from the Holy Spirit of God and Christ to understand and purify their hearts and get them back on the right path through the loss of that loved one. In verse 4, he says, "Whoever commits sin commits lawlessness." Sin is lawlessness. Verse 5, "You know he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin." So, ladies and gentlemen, if you sin, then Christ is not in you, and you can't claim to be Christian, because at that moment, you're not. Not my words. The Apostle John is saying them to you. In verse 6, 7, and 8, 9, 10, I'm going to read these out so that you can grasp hold of it. "Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him or knows him." So if you sin, and I'm talking about losing your temper, I'm talking about what comes out of your mouth that's slanderous and boisterous and disrespectful to others around you, that is not of God, that is of Satan. And you can claim that you're a Christian, but you're not if that is what's coming out of your mouth. Not my words again, but the scriptures. In verse 7, he says, "Little children, let no one deceive you. Practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous." So let me point that one out to you while we still have some time. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the church, the body of Christ, splitting again because of a lack of term for it, but the LGBT agenda. They are splitting the church, and they've got clergy that are going along with them, and they're teaching this doctrine. Ladies and gentlemen, John speaks it right here, because we're going to jump over to another part here shortly that's going to solidify the fact that if it is sin and unrighteous, then it's not righteous with God, and you do not have his blessing. That's all I'm going to say on that subject, because it goes for many other subjects as well. It goes for the understanding of who we are and what we do. We are responsible, and that's, I think that's the key word here that we need to pull out of 1 John here, is we have a personal responsibility to our salvation, to our commitment to Christ for calling us out of our sinful nature into his light and life, meaning his walk in this physical world, preparing ourselves for the next, for eternity with him. So let's move on to verse 8. He says, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, meaning he came, and that he might destroy the works of the devil. So here he comes again in each person he calls out, because he becomes part of them. And it is our responsibility to stomp out Satan at every turn we possibly can. That doesn't mean Satan's not going to win a few battles. But ladies and gentlemen, he cannot win the war. God will win the war. Keep that in mind. In verse 9, he says, whoever has been born of God does not sin. So there we are. The terminology in the Episcopal Protestant faith is born again. I am born again. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hands up in the air, praising God. Yes, yes, I am born again. Thank you, Father. So let's look at that verse again, thinking it from that standpoint. He who, whoever has been born of God does not sin. So here we are again, ladies and gentlemen. What comes out of your mouth and your choices, your actions, if they are not pure and godly and righteous in God's eyes, then you are not a Christian. You are not one of his. You belong to Satan, but you have the power over that. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you have the power over that. And the power comes from the knowledge of absorbing the Word of God into your heart through the discernment that he chooses to give you to help you understand and walk his way. In verse 10, he says, in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifested. That's a troubling thought when you look at it from that standpoint, because it's two individuals, one godly, one ungodly, and they're on an even plane, and they are going to try to manipulate and challenge and defeat each other. So that is a continual battle. Which means, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that we will suffer. Our suffering here on earth is, as Christ put it, long suffering. Long of suffering. But it's what we do to overcome that when we stand on the Word of God against all principalities, be they man or of Satan, be they unrighteous. We stand against them, then we are righteous, we are pure, and we are his. We can call ourselves Christian. Verse 17, he says, but whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, How does the love of God abide in him? Ladies and gentlemen, for 6 years I have asked for financial help from people just like you to help this ministry get to the next phase. We have a goal to become a 501c3 by March. I want you to pray about this, and I want your commitment to donate to this ministry and help us to achieve this so that we can help others and we can apply for grants and subsidies so that we don't have to ask you constantly and sound like we're begging. Because I'm done begging, ladies and gentlemen. John says it right here. If you shut yourself up from what God's righteous people are trying to do, and you want to give it to, I don't know, I could come up with 1,000 organizations and individuals and groups that are not necessarily all that righteous. We're trying to do God's work and we need your help. Go to our website. In verse 18, he says, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. It goes to that one aspect of choice again, ladies and gentlemen. God gave you choice. Yeah, animals have choices, but they aren't the same as human beings because we have feeling. We have an understanding of consequences of our actions. And if we go through with those actions that are not righteous with God, then we do not have God in us. And we need to be praying very hard for those individuals, even with our own families. No matter how much they struggle, they're going to go through their long suffering too, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. No, we don't wish ill on anyone, not even our enemies. But we are putting it on ourselves, kind of like a sponge absorbing all the water. That's what we are doing with this world. We're absorbing it, and we're not getting rid of it. We're taking it all in, and it's affecting who we are and what we do and how we act. In verse 20, he says in the second part, he says, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. How many times has the scripture told us that God is all-knowing? So there's nothing, that no place on this earth you can hide. You can't sit in the darkest hole with no windows, in the deepest cavern or bunker in this world, and God not know what you're doing. To finish up here in our last minute and a half, in verse 21 he says, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence in God, toward God. In verse 22, whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments. We don't manipulate them. We don't change them. We don't bend the rule, ladies and gentlemen, just to please our fellow man. Your eternal soul is the most important thing to me as the leader of this church, and all of our clergy want nothing but the absolute best for you, not necessarily on this earth, but definitely for eternity, that you may live in peace without suffering in the life and the light of God. Because he says here, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Now that is the word right there that we need to take with us as we go into this new year. When we look at the world around us and we look at individuals, and we say, well, they got this, I got that, they got what? Yeah, who cares? You can't take none of it with you. So why are you stressing? Do those things that are righteous in God's eyes, and you will be called his, and you will have his ear and his blessing and his gifts when you ask for them. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this is Patriarch Andrew Patrick with the sower on this New Year celebration. God bless, and we'll talk to you next week.